Hey, Benny, what's going on today?
Hey, what's going on, Jay? How you living? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm smooth, chilling like a criminal. So today, the subject at hand is prison pen pals. There's a lot that I could say about prison pen pals, but I'm not going to go there just yet.
All right.
But I think the part that kind of made me want to talk about this was that, you know, when we were looking for some stuff to talk about on the YouTube,
right.
Just conversations that seemed like good things to talk about. And when we ran across all of these pages on there where, I mean, it's all of these women who are like actively seeking quote unquote prison pen pals.
Right.
But it's really like a whole dating network on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of crazy to me because the more and more I think about it, I just sit back and kind of wonder to myself, like, why would you do that?
That was exactly my thought.
You know, like in my mind, I'm sitting around and I'm saying, like, what in your rabbit ass mind?
Okay.
I can't even think of any better term to use. Now, I want to preface this with, I'm not above being at that place where you have a significant other who is incarcerated or you're doing jail runs and all of that, because I have. You guys don't really know me out there, but, you know, I believe in being honest and sharing truth about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in those relationships where you're dating somebody or you're in a relationship with somebody and they get locked up and, you know, you're going up to the jail to go see them and you're going and you're putting a money on your books and making sure that they can call and you writing the letters and you're doing all of that.
Right.
I kind of get that. Hindsight 2020, I know now that I would never, you know, be or put myself purposefully into one of those situations. But I could see that situation more so than I can see the situation of, you know, just randomly trying to find some dude off the street. Like, oh yeah, you're on, you know, death row. Dude, you seem just like my perfect match. Like, what's up with you? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like crazy. So, you know, I'm just thinking of some of the stuff we saw while we were on there, you know?
Yeah, when we first saw it, I was totally messed up because I really did not know that this was even really a thing. But me and you were talking that one night and we were looking up topics and we were like, wait a minute, hold up, skirt, let's look here because it just looked interesting. And so there's like this whole page on Facebook where basically people who are incarcerated are telling their prison numbers, hey, I'm Joe so-so-and-so. My number is 254-692.
Really? You're still hooked on that prison number thing?
Yes, I'm still hooked on that prison number because I don't understand why you had to put that in your dating profile on Facebook.
Well, how else they gonna reach them? You know what I mean? See, you ain't done the prison run, so, you know, you don't really get that, like, when they're getting mail and stuff, you don't get mail just by your name.
Oh,
you
get
mail
true.
With your name and your prison ID, you know, when everything you do is attached to that ID. I think for me, what the craziest part was seeing how these, I don't know, because it seemed like a lot of the same chicks posting these people. So
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out, like, were they putting ads out there in the prisons and they running some kind of side hustle or, you know, what's going on? I can't figure it out.
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. And I really didn't even think about that until you said it. It could be a side hustle because you're right. One thing that I did notice was that a lot of the women who were commenting saying, hey, you know, I'm interested, or, you know, this is the type of person that you should probably link up with, you know, try and contact that person. You know, it was some of the same women. I did notice that.
Right. And so I'm just, it has me blown away because, I mean, just as an example, one of the people that was on there was this guy, and he was real like cocky with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, oh yeah, you know, I like to travel. I've been, you know, locked down for 15 years, but you know, I like to hit the casinos. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like,
I'm like, where have you traveled to?
I'm bruh? Sitting there like, my brother.
Okay.
You ain't traveling just because they might have transported you from FCI North Carolina to FCI Florida. That's you, not traveling, sweetie.
You being bust.
Right. It's like master manipulator, though. It's like, you know, come on now, bro.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, or like the one chick who is sitting there telling the people like, oh, my fiance is on death row in Texas. Boo-boo. If your fiance is on death row in Texas, he's not really your fiance. He's just some dude you talking to for the moment.
Exactly.
Like, when somebody is on death row in Texas, oh, they dying.
Oh, okay. Like, they going down.
It's not even a game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just sitting there thinking. So for me, I guess it was like a little bit of a deeper type thing. Like, I started kind of feeling bad for some of these chicks. And then I kind of started self-reflecting and saying like, whoa. But I still, I bring that difference up again.
Yeah.
Is there a difference when you knew the person prior to them being in this situation opposed to meeting the person while they're in that situation?
Yeah, I definitely think there is a difference because someone getting locked up, you knew them on the outside, you know, totally different because what's happening with these women who are on these pages, they have not met these guys at all. And they're just putting their information out there. And that was one thing that just blew me away was that they were just so free and so willing to be like, hey, you know, this is my name. This is my phone number. This is my address, my cell phone number. And I'm like, you realize this is on the internet, right? This is an open page and it wasn't private. Anybody could go on here and see your information. We were able to see it. So how do you, and this is out in cyberland. So how exactly do you know what someone's going to do with your information?
Right. I'm mad you took it back to the old black lady term, cyberland. Cyberland. It ain't in the cloud. It's in the cyberland.
Cyberland. Cyberland, not the clouds.
Oh, man.
Why you had to call me out on our podcast? It's our first show.
You didn't have
to do me like that. People are going to have this picture of me that I'm like Charlene or Sister Odell. You know what I'm saying?
Well, ladies, if you're wondering what he looked like, go ahead over to YouTube and search Ambition Productions. See, I'm putting you a little dating ad out there. It's kind of like the prison pen pals. They're going to be your YouTube pen pals and stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. You know?
So this is the first episode. So y'all see that she's a petty somebody. Okay.
I mean, I don't know any other way to be.
Oh man.
But no. Oh, but back on a serious tip, like I really sat for probably like 30, 45 minutes and just kind of reflected on being in those situations. And it's never healthy for anybody to be in a situation where you're going to a prison to see the person that you love and seeing how they're living. So it's an emotionally draining thing, even though nine times out of 10, whatever reason they're in there, they did whatever it was to be in there.
Right.
Regardless of how much you might be mad that they got caught, you know, more than likely they deserve to be there.
Yeah.
So that's emotionally draining. It's also financially draining. And I think I look at is that a majority of people who are sitting in prisons, I'm not talking about like them, you know, five-star resort prisons that Martha Stewart's and Bernie Madoff's and those types go to.
These are the bottoms.
Right. I'm talking about just like your everyday prison. These are not places where people who have tons and tons and tons of money are being locked away at. So if you're out here supporting somebody who is in jail, putting money on their books, making sure you're taking the phone calls. I mean, now they're doing emails and stuff. I think the emailing is like, it costs a certain amount of money. The telephone calls, I can remember just from the local county jail that the collect calls were like, you know, $1.50 for the first minute, 75 cents for every minute after that. They could talk for 15 minutes. That adds up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me be the first to tell you. So it's just, it's kind of crazy to me to think that somebody who has never physically met this person would be so willing to go out and put that type of financial investment into it. Because, I mean, let's be honest here. Most of these chicks are not out here truthfully looking for a quote unquote pen pal. What they are holding on to is the dream of the stuff that these dudes are selling in these ads that they're putting out there. You know what I mean?
And it's like they, and not to put down anybody in prison, but let's be for real. I mean, dudes in prison, I mean, they can be manipulators for real. And the thing is, I think a lot of these women, and again, not to put anybody down, I'm just calling it like I see it, is that these women have to be lonely as hell, desperate as hell to just be with someone. Because why else would you do that? And just kind of like what you were saying before, the financial situation, they could probably manipulate you and hustle you to put money on their books and do this and that. And not just for them, people that they roll with in prison, people that they roll with on the outside, and then you're going to get caught up more than likely.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I think it's crazy that I think that too, sometimes, not so much that these women are lonely and desperate, but if you are in a cycle of self-destructive behavior, or if you're in a cycle of I'm living just however, for them, they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. So I guess it's like, how do you reach these people and say, yo, sis, you ain't got to be talking to nobody locked up. It's 50 dudes out here who would be willing to talk to you that got jobs, that have, you know, their own homes or own apartments, you know, that are living decently, and they, you know, can drive and come pick you up, you know, and take you out on a date. You know, you can't, you're not going on dates going to visit the dude that's in jail. You know what I mean? You're not going on dates, sitting out here on the phone with this dude and taking your time. I don't know if people still write letters or not. It's been a long time since I had me, you know, a jailbird. So I'm not sure of all the ins and outs anymore. But I just know that it was a lot. So like, just as an example, the one person that I was with, don't be scared. You shall remain nameless.
Yeah. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
Right. your mama. But
your mammy.
Oh man. But you know, when you would go, they were in a federal penitentiary. So when you would go, you had to, number one, be pretty much felt up and down. They looking all up in your mouthpiece. They patting you down. They, you know, metal wanding you down. You know what I mean? They're just going above and beyond, you know, and I get it. It's a prison. You know, you can't be wearing, you know, certain types of pants. You can't be wearing certain types of shirts. So it's a lot that comes along with before you even get to the visit. You know, so you gotta be sitting at home thinking about like, oh, well, I can't wear a dress. But anybody who knows a dude that's in prison knows that they want you to be wearing something sexy so that they can get a little glimpse of your butt or your boobs or, you know, a little leg action so that they can so that they can go back to their cell and do whatever it is they're choosing to do. Moving on. but it's like, you know, feel like it's a lot of time investment. Again, going back to that money aspect, you know, when you go there, you're taking like $10, $15 and quarters with you so that you can buy two or three items from the vending machine.
And another thing is that a lot of the people who are locked up, they're not right around the corner. A lot of them locked up north somewhere, you know, where it can take like at least an hour for you to go.
or across the country, you know, like right. in the DC area where, you know, we live in the DMV area. And so in the DC area, DC is under the federal prison system to a degree. So DC jail dudes, if you have so much time, you're going to a federal prison. Mm. You're not sitting comfy and cushy in DC jail. So you could go anywhere. You could go to New York. You could go to Florida. You could go to Tennessee. You could go to Maryland, maybe. You never know where they're going to send you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I think another thing that kind of disturbs me about this whole thing is the fact that prisons are big business now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So the more and more these women go and spend their money, go and catch these buses, you know, that'll take you up to upstate, you know, New York or upstate Maryland or going to North Carolina or they're going to Texas or something like that. So you're paying for these trips to get on these Greyhound type buses or whatever mm-hmm. to go for prison visits, making money there. You're paying when you're, like I said, you're taking $10, $15, $20 into the prison in quarters so that you can buy them whatever it is that they want out of the vending machine. And so you're giving them money in the vending machines. Cha-ching, they've made more money.
Right.
You're giving them money every time, you know, they make a phone call. Cha-ching. You know, when they're buying a pack of oodles and noodles, they're being charged. Oodles and noodles, you can get like 50 of them for a dollar up in Walmart.
Right.
Okay. You go to prison, one cup of noodles is like $4.75.
Damn.
You know, they're putting like 200% markups on one bag of Doritos.
Now, see, that's something that I didn't even believe. I didn't even realize or even think about, you know. And I could definitely see that happening because prison, when it comes to business, it's modern day slavery, man.
Indeed, it is. And I mean, it's crazy. So it's like, I mean, I get it. There's always going to be a prison system around. And I get that those people deserve to be loved just like anybody else does. I'm not that person who thinks that just because you did something means that you don't deserve to have people in your life to support you. Because I think anybody is able to receive redemption at any moment and can turn their life around.
I agree.
If they choose to.
Absolutely.
But I think saying that you are worth so much more than going to a prison, locking yourself in with a whole bunch of criminals to come mm-hmm. and see somebody that you've never met before. You know what I mean? You are worth so much more than that. Don't put yourself in that predicament if you don't have to be in it. Now, if this was your husband, hey, you know, I get it. That's your husband. Whatever he did, you're going to stand behind him. You know, yeah. That's a whole nother, you know, ball of wax.
Definitely.
But for somebody that you don't know, don't take a responsibility that you don't need to.
And that's why I feel like it goes back to those deep-rooted issues. Like, there has to be something else going on in your mind and your heart and your soul for you to do something that extreme. It has to be.
Right.
It has to be.
I mean, you definitely have to feel that. Or sometimes, let me back up. I think sometimes it's the fantasy of it all. You know, mm-hmm. And again, speaking from that personal aspect, you know, when you're talking to somebody in prison and they're telling you how much they love you, well, they're only telling you that because even if they was with you before they went in, they're only telling you that because they ain't got nothing else but time on their hands. And you don't know how many other people they're telling that story to. That's
okay. Number one. And that can be true out of jail.
Exactly. Number two is prisoners are very intelligent people. They were intelligent before they got locked up, and they're, you know, they're not stupid people, all of them.
No.
And so some of them know that when I get out, I'm going to need somebody who's going to be there for me.
Exactly.
Out of all the people that I've known that have been in relationships with someone who either they were with before they went to prison or they met them while they were in prison, I can say honestly that out of 10 of those relationships, I only know two people that are still in those relationships. Because at some point, as we grow, we get a little bit wiser, we get a little bit more knowledge in our lives, we start doing a little bit better, you start to realize that where I'm living, we can't live in this place together because I'm going to the right and you still going left. You know, if you was the dope man when we met and you the dope man now still, but I'm working hard, I'm growing, I'm evolving, and you still want to be the dope man, there's no place for us. There's no middle ground.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You lose that middle ground. So I think for some of these people, they are stuck in that fantasy of wanting the bad boy, that's the dope man. And he's telling you like, oh, I was making, you know, $5,000 a week. And oh, when I get out, I'm going to be on my grind and you ain't going to have to worry about nothing.
Right.
But the problem with that is, now let me throw a scenario out there. If we look at this realistically, when he gets out, unless he was grinding and hustling off the chain before he went in, and he was smart and intelligent enough to stash some to the side, some stone cold cash somewhere to the side with somebody he could trust. When he gets out, he's going to be relying on the dollars that you have in your bank account or in your pocket in order to get hustled up again. Now, some chicks like the dope man. You know, that's their thing. You know, I mean, I get it. Right. I get it. I used to have that ratchet mentality. I used to think that, oh, I want me a bad boy. I can't be with no dude that's on the straight and narrow. That ain't my thing. You know, but everybody has to grow and evolve at some point. And let me retract that. Not everybody's going to grow and evolve. But hopefully, you know, they will attempt to grow and evolve. So I realized that that's not something you should ascertain to. You know what I mean? That's not something you should break your neck to be or to be with. It really should be a thing where you're with somebody that understands you, that's willing to work beside you to help you where you need help, and you are able to reciprocate all of those qualities back to them.
Exactly.
You know, it's about I teach you, you learn, you teach me, I learn. You know, it's not about coming in and we going to live, you know, this Bonnie and Clyde and we going to do this and we going to do that. You know, I just would love to know, you know, what I mean? Like what makes you think. And I mean, I'm going to even take it a step further and say these dudes that are on death row. Let's just even go there.
Man, that was something that tripped me out. When we saw the guy from death row, I was like, huh? How is this going to work?
Exactly. Like I said earlier, you know, the girl's talking about, oh, my fiance on death row. He's got two friends. How do you have friends on death row? You are literally locked down on death row for like, I think, 23 and a half hours of your day. You only get 30 minutes of daylight, and it's not in a, you know, to my understanding, I could be wrong, in a, you know, common area. So how do your friend? How you know this person? So because when you go to visit him, you want some company for the ride, you're going to ask other people to put themselves in a predicament of going to visit someone on death row.
Okay.
Why get attached to that? Why form that relationship? Now, and I'm going to say this, don't get me wrong. If you're out here going to visit that person, send us a message and let us know. Tell us why. Give us some valid points. You know, make the argument for why you feel like it's okay to do that. Help me to understand from your perspective. You know, and then also, if you are with somebody and you're wondering, you know, like, hey, you know, I've been thinking all this stuff myself. Like, how do I get out? I'm always full of words of the get out. I'm joking.
You know what? Not the get out.
You know, they call me the runaway bride, so I got some stuff for you. I got some stuff in the whole stuff.
You know, you know what? You're this out here all on these podcasts.
Oh, man. But no, but I really think that I just can't understand for the life of me why somebody would want to put themselves in that situation. What are you getting from that relationship?
And when I look at everything, I just don't really see how this is going to have a happy ending. I just do not see it. at all.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And again, this isn't to put down anybody, because I don't judge nobody because I don't do that, you know. But the thing is, just help me understand. You know, this is something that we came across on Facebook. Hey, maybe there's some stuff but hey, I'm just calling it like I see it.
Right. And I mean, and if you are somebody who can genuinely write someone a letter just to say, hey, I like to pray with you, or I'd like to just have some general conversation and be able to keep it within those guidelines and say, hey, let's, you know, tell me some things you're interested in, and we're going to pick one subject, and that's what we're going to talk about. If you are able to keep it as strictly a pen pal relationship, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But my problem is, and my misunderstanding, or I don't know what the best term is to use, like my heart breaks for those girls who are out here thinking that they have found their Jay-Z. I hit you with that one, you know, because you've got them, even though they're entertainers, they're personifying and glorifying, you know, on the run tours and things like that. You know, you don't get to choose how that computes to the person receiving that information.
Exactly.
You see what I mean? So though you're just saying it and you're using it as an acting tool or a visual tool to help you sell albums or sell, you know, concert tickets, you don't get to choose how that little girl sitting at home sees it as this exciting lifestyle and, oh, he really loves her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wonder, is that some of it? You know what I mean?
I mean, everybody, you know, and it's a shame, because whether you're young, whether you're older, people can just be so caught up in what they see on TV and be so hypnotized. But one thing that people have to realize is that a lot of stuff that you see on TV, it's not real. It's just stuff that it looks good. You know what I'm saying? But if you really try to live that life, it's a whole different story. It's just entertainment, baby. That's all it is.
Exactly. Exactly. So guys, thank you for joining in for our first podcast. It has been 100% real. If you're joining us on the Anchor app, make sure that you are sending us messages, or make sure that you're going to check us out at our YouTube channel, which is Ambition Productions. You can also catch us on Facebook and Instagram any time of day or night at Ambition P-R-O-D. So until next time, make sure that you are hitting that star and the bell so that you are receiving alerts every time that we post. You can check us out hopefully soon on Apple Music and other places that have podcasts. So until next time, we'll holler.
Peace.